FM show right here on KUT Student Radio, channel 66 in the dorms, KUT.org, and 1620 AM. Also available with a delayed broadcast on 99.9 FM on the east side of the campus. This is the UFM show, featuring discussions on the paranormal and anything else that we want to. With your host, Justin. To reach the UFM show, if you're east of the Wasatch, dial 801-585-3449. West of the Wasatch, 801-585-3449. Or drop us an email at marsam233@yahoo.com. That's marsam233@yahoo.com. All one word. This is the UFM show. Now, here's Justin.
It is the UFM show, the very, very first ever broadcast of the UFM show here on KUT Student Radio, channel 66 in the dorms, KUT.org, and 99.9 FM in the East Campus area. And I was listening to it on the way here, so sounds pretty cool. That is, if you are in the dorm area. But we got a big show tonight. Bigfoot is our topic here on the paranormal side of things. We got two esteemed researchers with us today, Bethesda Cobblebutt from Carthage, Texas, who is going to be with us, as well as his colleague. This guy's name escapes me every single time. Leroy Turtleton from Northern California is going to be with us as well. In fact, I just talked to him before the show. He's actually helping some cats out, his neighbor's cats out right now. So, anyway, we are broadcasting across the airwaves this evening. And I wanted to let you guys know that my MySpace is going to be on during the show. That's myspace.com/thatsmystewboy. So if you want to instant message me, that's how you do it, because chances are the phones are going to be tied up this evening. I keep thinking it's afternoon. I don't know why. And I'm sorry, folks, but I do have a bit of a cold this evening. So if my voice seems a little raspy or gets kind of tired during the end of the show, then, yeah, that's what it is. But anyway, you're listening to UFM, the Unidentified Flying Mantha. There, I said it. I wasn't going to give it away. The Unidentified Flying Mantha show here on KU Student Radio. Got some news for you this evening. The U.S. has adopted a tough new policy aimed at protecting its interest in space and denying adversaries access there for hostile purposes. The document signed by President Bush also says, quote, freedom of action in space is as important to the United States as air power and sea power, end quote. The document rejects any proposals to ban space weapons. But the White House has also said the policy does not call for development or deployment of weapons in space. However, some military experts warn that by refusing to enter negotiations on space weaponry, the U.S. is likely to fuel international suspicions that will develop weapons. The 10-page strategic document states that the United States national security is critical, dependent on space capabilities, and this dependence will only grow. So that's the first story for you this evening. Also, Universal Music, you know, the people behind Universal Studios, their music side, has sued several video sites. The world's biggest record company, Universal Music, is suing two video sharing websites in the U.S. The firm, whose artists include such artists as U2 and Mariah Carey, accuses both Grouper and Bolt of allowing mass infringement of copyright by letting users swap videos. It wants damage of $150,000 US for each video distributed on the websites without permission. Bolt's chief executive, Aaron Cohen, maintains the site removes copyrighted material as soon as it is notified. Quote, there is no question that people upload copyrighted content from time to time, he told Reuters news agency. Occasionally we do receive official notices to remove content, as we do. So that's kind of like, it's kind of like YouTube with their whole Google thing. Some people are worried that the copyright people are going to come after you for posting videos on YouTube, which is kind of stupid. Anyway, after this break, we're going to have two esteemed Bigfoot researchers with us tonight. We're also going to play some sounds of Bigfoot that were recorded in the wild areas around this country, including the West here in California and in Utah and Wyoming. We're going to give you some stories of the latest updates. All that's coming up after the break. Again, two researchers are coming up after this song. But first, folks, we're going to play a commercial for the UFM. So enjoy. Okay, maybe not. That's right. There we go. Continuous.
You know, sometimes, dear listeners, I worry about my health as a young man, and that's why I just started taking this all-new Cold Flatch formula with zinc to help keep me going while on the air. Cold Flatch is a natural zinc formula formulated to keep me going strong every day and prevent the onsets of such pests as the flu and the common cold. It also helps keep me stay regular with a natural non-habit-forming laxative built right in. Plus, Cold Flatch has a sleep regulator which makes my sleeping habits run perfectly with my school schedule and the show schedule. So if you're ready to feel better all over, I recommend you try Cold Flatch. From the makers of Ultralax. Yes, Cold Flatch. Available only by dialing 1-800-KANG-RU. That's 1-800-K-A-N-G-R-U.
These commercials are not actual advertisements and are 100% fake. You should not believe in them at all. I talk really, really fast so you can't understand me. Be sure to talk to your doctor before taking Cold Flatch, as it may cause such side effects as uncontrollable bowel movements, voice cracking even though puberty is already over with, a strong urge to beat a cat, a desire to drive somewhere, or a loss of sleep or headache, nausea, and vomiting profusely.
Hello, friends. It's Otmanik here, and I'm back to tell you, do you sometimes wonder what scary things might go bump in the night? Well, if you're like me, then you do. Well, there's no better way to find out what these scary things are than with your new handy-dandy Grundiggity FR200 radio from RadioSack. That's right. It's got a built-in flashlight to help you find the Bigfoot in the dark. It's perfect for those late-night outings when you need a radio to find a distant station, but don't want the hassle of batteries. You see, the Grundiggity FR200 has a windable power source for hours and hours of hands-free radio
use
and a flashlight use. Take the Grundiggity FR200 anywhere. Trust me, you'll like it. And tell them Art sent you to get a discount. The Grundiggity FR200, available only at Radio Sack.
KU 1620, Channel 66, KU.org, and DXFM 99.9.
Ultimate test of cerebral fitness.
muddy old river or reclining Buddha. Thank God I'm only watching the game, controlling it. I don't see you guys rating the kind of mate I'm contemplating. I'd let you watch, I would invite you, but the queens we use would not excite you. So you better go back to your bars, your temples, your massage parlors. One night in Bangkok, in the world's toughest bar. The bars are temples, but the pools ain't free. You'll find a god in every golden oyster. A little special, little history. I can feel an angel sliding next to me. One night in Bangkok makes the heart man humble. Not much between despair and ecstasy. One night.
Murray Head there, one night in Bangkok, here on the UFM show. All right, our
esteemed... Whoa.
That is not right.
How come I can hear you guys? Whoa, that was weird. All right, so can you guys hear me all right there?
Yep. Oh, that's right, I can hear you.
All right, so we have on the phone with us this evening, Bethesda Cobblebutt from Carthage, Texas. He's doing an investigation for Bigfoot down there as well. And
yes,
we also have Leroy Turtleton from Northern California. Where are you located, Leroy?
I'm up just outside of Yreka, California. We're up on the Oregon-California border.
Okay, that's cool. You probably have heard of, then, Del Norte County?
We're in Siskiyou County, actually.
Okay, so...
But it's not too far from here, though. Del Norte is right on the coast.
Yeah, that's...
Where Crescent City is.
That's actually where the most recent sighting of Bigfoot was actually recorded, according to the Bigfoot Research Organization.
That's true. A lot of my research is focused in this area of northwestern California and Oregon, southwestern Oregon.
All right, that's cool. So if you guys don't... If you guys don't mind... If you guys don't mind, I got some questions for you to ask you, and let's keep this serious, folks. I mean, I know we joked a lot when we were talking on the phone, but I want to keep this as serious as possible. What's going on? All right, guys, that's enough. Okay, my first question is for you, Leroy. For those of us who do not know, or know very little bit about Bigfoot, could you either give us a clear idea of what Bigfoot likely is or isn't? What would you say Bigfoot is?
Sure. Bigfoot is sometimes described as a large, bipedal, hairy hominid creature that lives in remote forested wilderness areas in the United States and western Canada. Bigfoots have been sighted, however, throughout the Great Lakes region, Texas, and even in Florida, and not to mention elsewhere around the world, in China, Russia, places in South America, and even Australia, Bigfoot have been sighted.
So basically, Bigfoot has been seen all over the world.
That's true.
Okay. How about here in Utah? Has there been any recent sightings other than that? I know I've got the information right here, but I just want to hear you say it.
I have not heard of any sightings offhand in the Utah area, but as you go a little further to the west, into Northern California, Oregon, Washington, and even Idaho, there's been a number of sightings in the past 20 years.
Okay. So, Bethesda, how would you describe a Bigfoot in Texas? Because are they different down there, or are they just the same as what Leroy was saying?
Well, if you listen to the descriptions of them, a lot of time you'll find a lot of similarities between the Bigfoots spotted in Northern California, Oregon, and Washington. And over, actually, in Yeti, the Yeti was actually in the Himalayas, and in China as well. So, it's interesting you brought up, the Bigfoot and, like, where you asked Leroy where they came from, because I've been, actually doing some recent studying on some, ancient biology and anthropology and such.
Okay.
And I've, uncovered, well, actually I haven't uncovered, there's been, information about, Gigantopithecus, a long time. And Gigantopithecus was a long ape that lived long ago. It was a large ape, and it lived. They found it in China and in India. Now, the species in China, they say it might have been 10 feet tall and 1,200 pounds.
Okay.
So that's pretty big, if you can imagine that. That's actually really big, and that actually compares to some of what people see here in Texas and out there on the West Coast.
All right.
But I happen to believe that I'm doing extensive research on this, and I happen to believe that Gigantopithecus might be an ancient ancestor of the present-day Bigfoot Yeti species, if they are the same species.
Okay. That's actually, while you were discussing that, I was actually looking up on the BFRO website.
Yes, that's a very, very helpful website.
That the most recent report here in Utah was submitted in August of 2005, actually 25 miles south of Vernal, Utah, which is pretty close to my hometown of Wyoming, about an hour or a half drive or so. And I'm just going to read to you what this website says here. The location details say he was camped near Lower Twin Lake, east of Marsh Peak, and north of Paradise Peak Reservoir. We hiked about 75. Oh, we hiked in on Trail Point 75 and Trail 50 from Paradise Peak Park. I'm not sure exactly where that is. I know some of you out there from Utah would probably know better than I would where that is. It says the nearest road was Blanchet Peak Road or Red Cloud Loop Road. And here is what they observed, if you guys don't mind me telling that.
Go ahead.
Okay. On a recent backpack trip in the Marsh Peak Twin Lake area of the High Uintas in Utah, I and several others in a party noticed an obvious lack of small birds, chipmunks, deer, and small wildlife. On the morning of the second day, shortly after our camp became active, with the days of preparation for more hiking, we heard whooping sounds coming from up the trail, which we assumed was another group of hikers. The whoops matched one of the sound bites I found on this website, which we're going to play later. As it turns out, we were the only group hiking in that area at the time. We found no trace of other visitors in the area. So they also noticed an absence of wildlife, like I said, and the disappearance of people in the UN recently may have something to do with this Bigfoots. You know, I don't know if you guys have been following the news up here, but it seems like every single year a Boy Scout gets lost in the UNs. So what is your take on that? Do you think that actually could be a Bigfoot?
Definitely. There's a better chance that it's a black bear, but there's always that unknown out there that it could be a Bigfoot.
Okay.
Well, I've never actually heard of a Bigfoot kidnapping a person. I have heard of missing persons in Bigfoot areas, though. However, I tend to believe that it's not necessarily Bigfoot, because I believe Bigfoots are docile creatures, and they actually view man almost as an equal in their eyes. So I don't believe that a Bigfoot would actually do something like that. Now, a Homo sapien, on the other hand, I definitely believe they would do something like that, as in kidnapping a little boy.
So you think all the incidents in the UNs might have been a person kidnapping these little Boy Scouts?
Well, a true scientist doesn't really know until he tests and finds out. Now, it could be a Bigfoot, but I don't believe personally that it would be something like that. And a lot of people do get lost in the woods, you know, just on their own, and some of them are not kidnappings, they just get lost and are never found again.
Yeah. That's true. I wanted to ask you guys, have any of you ever been to Salt Lake City?
Yes, I have.
Okay, and you guys know it's surrounded by mountains and such. Would the Wasatch Mountains actually be likely to hold a Bigfoot?
I'll take that one. There is a path that they could follow down from Canada along the spine of the Rockies, through Yellowstone Park and Glacier, coming down. It's a very narrow corridor, however, which means it would be very difficult for a Bigfoot to stay hidden if it were living in the Wasatch Mountains.
And, go ahead.
I tend to agree with Leroy right there. I mean, I've been in Salt Lake City in the surrounding communities, and there's a high population right around the Wasatch. And I believe, you know, if there was a Bigfoot there, then then someone would have most likely seen them. Now, I know there's been some sightings, but I did believe that there'd be more evidence than, you know, just a couple of what they show on the website.
Yeah. I'm guessing, too, that given that it's a bigger populated area, there's likely to be more unreported sightings, especially there's a little community here in Salt Lake. It's actually one of the suburbs called Olympus Cove. And that's right up against the mountains, like I can't think of the name of the mountain there. There's like Lonely Peak, and there's like Mount Olympus, actually, is what I was thinking of. And there's woods up there, so the chances of somebody seeing Bigfoot are probably more likely in that area, wouldn't you think?
It's possible, but Bigfoot tends to shy away from where people are. Most of the sightings come from people that are hiking in the wilderness.
Yeah, that's true.
Bigfoot is rarely seen close to a major populated area.
Although it'd be funny to see one to come down here into Salt Lake and start ravaging the students at the University of Utah.
That could always happen. But
okay, so my second question for you guys this evening is, what kind of evidence is usually found, and is it different from site to site?
You all take this one later. I'll answer after you do.
Okay, sure. Well, everybody knows that the reason Bigfoot got its name is because of its big foot. And how do we know it has a big foot? Because it leaves footprints. Footprints are probably the most commonly found evidence of a Bigfoot. Several other things can also be evidence of a Bigfoot. We have found Bigfoot, what we think are Bigfoot fingerprints, very large fingers that don't look like humans, that have hair on them. And other things we have found hair and blood and fecal samples. One piece of evidence that seems to be missing, that no one's ever been really able to find, is a Bigfoot skeleton. And that's probably the holy grail that will allow us to determine whether Bigfoot is real or not, if we can find a skeleton.
So why is it that they haven't found a skeleton yet? Do these Bigfoot, are they like smart creatures? Do they know to bury their dead, or do they actually do that? What was your opinion on that?
Well, they are very smart creatures, but as you also may have heard before, bear skeletons are actually very rare that you will find a bear. When an animal is wounded and dying, it usually retreats to an area where it can be alone and it will not be bothered. And these animals tend to live in areas that are very remote to begin with. So the chances of you finding a bear or a Bigfoot is about equal. So
I have to agree with you there, Leroy. In our area in eastern Texas, I'm actually based out of Carthage, and almost every other night, my colleague and I go out searching for the creature, and we set up cameras in the forest around here, and we just wait and listen. Now, you were asking what kind of evidence Bigfoot sometimes leave behind. Well, in many cases, especially down here, people have reported having a very bad smell emanating from the area where they think the Bigfoot is. And other evidence is the howl. It's a bone-chilling howl. I've heard it actually personally before in one of my several times, actually. And it's a bone-chilling howl that the Bigfoot creatures yell out of the woods to communicate. Because sometimes, and actually this has been well documented down here, that in most of the cases where there's a howl, there's always a corresponding howl in the distance from another Bigfoot or whatever creature is yelling out this loud yowl. Now, if you do the physics on the sound, it has to be a fairly large creature emitting this sound in order to produce the decibels that can be heard at such a distance. So we've done some studies of our own on this, and we believe it has to be a very big animal. So we believe it's Bigfoot. And
well,
like
guys,
Leroy said,
go ahead.
It's very... We do have a higher population down here than Northern California. We have a lot of roads crisscrossing the country. And a lot of people just, you know, see something out of the corner of their eye when they're driving down these roads. But in our extensive Bigfoot hunts, we found maybe a couple footprints, some hairs, and we've smelled some things sometimes and heard the yells. And we're analyzing footage, and we think we might have a Bigfoot on film, but we're still in the process of doing some in-depth analysis on that film.
Okay, guys, I'm right up against the break, so we'll come back and we'll actually play some of the howls that you can find on this BFR website. We've got some really good ones for you. These are the really scary ones that have been recorded all over the country. So stick with us, guys. We'll be back in a few minutes. This is Enigma, Return to Innocence on KU Student Radio.
All right.
Hello friends, it's that time of the month again for your After Fart newsletter subscriptions to be coming due, and you know, October is something special this month because of our special Halloween ghost stories show. Did I mention it's also Halloween this month? So, after you're done poisoning the kids with candy, sit back and enjoy the official newsletter of the UFM show, the After Fart newsletter, with this month's edition on sale now. Pick one up and enjoy, and as always, don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already done so. And tell them I sent you the UFM show's After Fart newsletter.
You're listening to the UFM show on the Stewboy Radio Networks. In other words, KUTE.org, Channel 66, and 1620 AM. Also, 99.9 FM DX FM.
All right, we are back on the UFM. It is 8:34 here. This is, like the ID said, KUTE Student Radio, Channel 66 of the dorms, KUTE.org, which is mostly which is most likely where you're listening from, KU.org, or, you know, 99.9 FM on the east side of campus. You can hear us as well. So we are back with the second part of the first hour here on the show. We got Leroy and Bethesda back with us, and I'm going to ask Leroy a quick question. You guys still there?
Yes.
Okay, so my next question for you, Leroy, is what is your research based on, and what have you found out about the elusive Bigfoot in there in Northern California?
My research is based on the Patterson film, which was taken, I believe it was in the 1950s. I have been studying Bigfoot ever since that in Northern California, and I have a crew of seven who go out and track into the wilderness, camp out in the wilderness, take cameras, we set up motion sensors, we try to get pictures of the animal as he walks by a motion detector. We do different things like that.
Okay, so have you actually, I was in Northern California last summer on a vacation. I went camping during like late August, mid to late August, and some other guy, I don't know if you know, I can't remember his name or anything, but I remember he was doing Bigfoot research right next to where I was, near Mount Shasta, and his research turned out to be a hoax. I mean, he caught this supposed Bigfoot, and it was a hoax. And does that discredit your guys' research anyway?
I hope that doesn't discredit my research. That guy, as you know, went on a show similar to this, claiming that he was tracking and that he had actually captured a Bigfoot and that he was going to sell the images of this Bigfoot on the web to those who would pay and get a live video stream of it. To me, it sounded like a hoax from the beginning because this person was trying to profit on this. I can't speak for Bethesda, but I would probably tend to think that he agrees with me. But we are anthropologists, and we are more interested in finding out whether this is real or not, and we are not in this to make any money.
Well, that is good, because the world needs more researchers like yourself, you know, other than people like that. That made me really mad, actually, when that happened, because I know the show you were listening to. It's Coast to Coast AM. It's actually on about an hour after this show airs on actual AM stations like KNRS here, 570 AM. And you can hear it all over across the country. It's Coast to Coast AM. That's hosted by my friend Art Bell. I was listening to that show while it was happening, and it was kind of cool, actually, because the guy was in my very area near Mount Shasta, you know. I cannot remember the mountain that we were at. It starts with an L, I think. There's a big volcanic mountain up there.
Was it Lassen National Park?
Yeah, it was Lassen, actually. So thank you.
Okay,
thank you.
I've been actually doing... every once in a while, I do like to go up to the Pacific Northwest, and sometimes I meet with my esteemed colleague, Leroy Turtleton, and we go out and together and do some investigating. And one time we actually did, we were camping at Lassen National Park. That's in Northern California, and we were doing a little bit of research around there because there had been some recent string of sightings up there.
Yeah, that's where I was at. I can't remember the name of the campground. It was something by a stream, but it was eerie there. I mean, it was like a dead silence, like this guy is describing from Utah. I mean, there was only us other campers there, and you know, it was kind of creepy. That wilderness, I don't know how anybody could be out there, any human could be out there.
Yeah, it's a pretty desolate area. It really takes some cojones for a person to sit out there, especially with the different kinds of noises that you hear.
Yeah, I was going to mention actually before the break, and I forgot to do this, that if anybody who is listening wants to contact us, I have a MySpace set up. It's myspace.com/ That's My Stewboid, THATSMYSTUBOY. That's My Stewboid. It's all one word. And I am on there right now, so if you want to fast flash me an email,
It's called Sasplatch. If you want to send me an email over MySpace, you can do that as well. I'm also going to give my regular email address out. It's marsam233@yahoo.com. 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 And we will gladly air your questions. We might have, be able to put open lines on later on the show towards the end there. I'm not sure how that's going to work. We're going to figure that out as the time passes. But back to you guys. Have either of you ever seen a Bigfoot in real life?
I'll give one to you, Bethesda.
I'm pretty sure I have seen a Bigfoot. You know, when you see a Bigfoot for the first time, you're so afraid and you're so careful that you don't want to move because, let me just go into the story. My friend and I, my friend's name is Byron, and we were hiking in a little state park close to Carthage called Martin Creek State Park, and there's a lot of thick forest around there. And a lot of densely populated, or it's not densely populated necessarily around there. And so we were hiking at night through there, and we had some tape recorders. And we were just trying to, see if we could see anything. And I'm not sure if you heard that show called Ghost Hunters.
Yeah, actually, I have heard of that show. It's a really good show. I like it.
Yeah. Well, we were kind of trying to do an investigation like that, my friend Byron and I. And, what we were doing was we set up some tape recorders and some night vision, and we just started setting those up. And pretty soon we were like walking out there, and it gets kind of chilly out there at night because there's a lot of humidity down here, more so than the Pacific Northwest. And so it gets kind of chilly when it gets cold. And so we were kind of hunkered down, and my friend Byron said, "Hey, can you hear that?" And I said, "What?" He said, "There's something right around this bend over here." So we were walking along this ridge. It's actually not very much a ridge, according to people out the west. There's hills here in eastern Texas, but we were walking along this hill, the side of this hill. And Byron's like, "Well, I'm going to go this way and see if I can spook it out." And I'm like, "Okay, I'll stay here. Oh, no, I'll keep on walking straight, and I'll see if I can see anything." Well, so we were walking, and it was really dark, and, you know, this fog was kind of setting in a little bit, although I could still see patches of the night sky up ahead, or up above, and so we were walking along there, and all of a sudden, I hear this, like, weird show right on the side, right by my right side, and it was like, blah, 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 like that, and I looked over, and it was like a little, like a bird that kind of just took off, and I'm, oh, you know, scared the crap out of me. So we're walking along here, and I could hear Byron, like, walking about maybe 50 yards to the right of me. You know, it's kind of, he's walking on some trees and snapping them and everything. And all of a sudden, I heard dead silence. And I was like, I kind of tried to whisper to Byron. I was like, "Byron," he couldn't hear me. And I was like, "Byron." And so we were walking along there, and I started getting really scared because I thought my friend had, fallen into a sinkhole or something because there's a lot of sinkholes up there. And I was like, "Byron," he's like, "Shut up." I'm like, "Okay." So we were sitting up there, and all of a sudden, about 75 yards to the, up to the right of us, there came this loud screeching howl. And I believe you, and I know you have some recordings of some available to you. I happen to forget all my recordings tonight, but it sounded just like what you're going to play on the show, and we got dead silent again. And then about maybe 200 yards off to the left, we heard another howl in response, and it was really similar. And so we were scared this time because we were right in between these calls, so we didn't know what to do, so I made my way down toward Byron really quietly, and I said, "Hey, I think we better get out of here. I think they know we're here." So we started heading back towards our base camp outside in the state park area, and we were walking, and we heard this crunching from behind. We're like, "Oh,
crap, what the hell is that? So we turned around, and it was a wild pig. And there's a lot of wild pigs up here. It's a common sight. As a matter of fact, I think it might be one of the main food sources of the Bigfoots around here. But the pig kind of like shuffled off, but he was being real quiet too. So we kept on walking up the hill and back towards our base camp. And all of a sudden, I hear this noise, and I smell this smell. I'm like, Byron, do you smell that? He's like, yeah, I do too. And so I was like, oh my God, that reeks. He's like, yeah, I know. What the hell is that? So I turned around, and I could see these eyes reflecting back at me because we had a flashlight, you know. And I shined it around, and I could see for a brief second this ape-like face staring at me about 25 yards away. And it ducked really behind the tree really quick. And then I turned about and said, I don't know about you, but we got to get the hell out of here. So we kind of started moving. We tried to be quiet, but we started moving a little bit quietly. And, well, all of a sudden we heard this snapping sound behind us. And we turned back around, and it was there again. Except for this time it was about maybe 50 yards away. It got closer since we last saw it. And so this time we're like, oh, man, it's going to do something to us. So we started running a little bit, and we heard this piercing cry off to our right side. It was the same one we heard before, but that one was closer, too. That one sounded like it was maybe 175 yards away. So we figured that we were being cornered by these two Bigfoot creatures, and so we were heading back to the campsite, and all of a sudden, Byron trips on this log, and I get so scared, I keep on running for a bit, and I turn back, and he's like, get back here, you chicken, I can't say the explicit word, but, so I ran back there, and I picked him up, and there, maybe about 10, 15 feet away from me, there was a big, tall, black, furry, man-like creature just standing, like, right by this tree, and he, like, looked at me with these eyes, these gazing, piercing eyes, and I could not let go, or I could not move. I was shaking so bad, and Byron's like, what the hell are you staring at? Let's get the hell out of here. I said, shut up. I said, shut up and don't move. So we were talking to Byron. I was talking, and the Bigfoot kind of just looked at me, and he showed his teeth. And I could see he had some white pearly kind of teeth and some canine kind of teeth. And then he made this little gurren noise at me, and I was just so petrified and scared. And we stood there for maybe like, 15 minutes staring at each other. And then the Bigfoot kind of slowly started walking off in the other direction away from us. And I'm not kidding you, Justin. We were standing there for about an hour until we heard two Bigfoot calls way off in the distance again. And we figured it was the same two Bigfoots, the one we saw and the one that was off in the distance. And so we were like, let's get the hell out of here. Now my friend Byron and I had some recording equipment, but we didn't have it set up in the right area. And I stupidly forgot the batteries to my camera, so I didn't have any physical evidence. But I'm telling you, from man to man right now, I swear that I saw something in the forest right there that night in Texas. That was about 2 years ago in a state park.
Okay. Well, I believe you. Don't get me wrong. I believe you. I have got...
I would swear on my mother's grave.
Okay.
I swear.
Yeah, I believe you. We actually have a fast flash that just came in from Hanker Splink. I hope I'm saying that. Hanker Lip Sync. I was in Lassen area backpacking, and I was trying to relieve myself at night, and I heard a brief sound like a grunting. But I wasn't sure it was me or something in the woods. And he says, I did smell a foul smell, but I also thought it might have been me, but it wasn't, he says. We heard wood cracking all night. And I asked him if he has any more details, and he says he believes it was Bigfoot, and there was a growling, howling kind of noise. He said he thought it was his stomach, but it wasn't. He thought it was gas, but he said it was an animal sound like it was relieving itself in the woods. And it also says here, I was in an area where the Bigfoot had been reported about 2 weeks prior to where, and he said he didn't stay any longer, and that's all the fast flatches. So thank you, Hanker Lipstink. I'm sorry if I'm saying that wrong.
Now, where did he see that? Did he say where he saw that?
Yeah, he said the Lassen area, the Lassen, California. Right where I was been camping, you know, last summer. So there must be a high activity of Bigfoot in that area for some reason. It's interesting.
Leroy, have you heard anything more about that area out there?
That's my home territory. It's been quiet for a little while. About a year ago, Justin had mentioned, there was a sighting in Del Norte County. I believe a sheriff's deputy from Sacramento was camping along a river in the area. I think it was called the Smith River. And they were getting ready to pack up and go home, and he looked across the river, and standing there was a Bigfoot. And this was just about a year ago.
Interesting. Yeah.
He's a very reputable person. Like I said, he's a sheriff's deputy.
That's cool.
Sometimes, like you were mentioning before, we get people who want to make hoaxes, bring this information to light. But other times, we have very credible people that will bring this information forward.
That's right. We have the same situation down here, too. We have a lot of law enforcement in the area that have seen animals in the net, you know, crossing the road, you know, especially like during rainstorms or something like that. They'll see something out of the corner of their eye. And I've known some of these people personally. In fact, I've gone and eaten some sausage egg casserole with them a couple times. And, you know, they're credible people. These people have, like, kids in the family and the wife. You know, they're Christian, God-fearing believers. And they see these creatures, you know, they can't explain.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, I believe that all of these reports cannot be wrong. I believe some of them may be a hoax. It's like, here is the most recent report, according to BRFO, August of 2006 in West Virginia. Wow, I didn't even know they were out that far east.
Yes, they've been in the Appalachian Mountains. There have been some sightings out there, too.
And they've also been sighted in the Great Lakes. I have some relatives that live in Wisconsin, and they sent me a newspaper clipping of a milk delivery driver who saw a Bigfoot cross a road carrying a goat at 5 in the morning in northern Wisconsin.
Interesting.
Was that by Rhinelander?
It was to the west of Rhinelander, over near the, what is that city called? Ladysmith area.
Okay.
Well, I just got another fast flash from the Henry Lipsync guy, and he says he believed that the Bigfoot he just told me about was really a bear. But I have a hard time believing that it was a bear if he's hearing growling and howling and smelling sound, you know, what he did.
Well, actually, you know, I have to point out that bears do have foul smells, too. You know, people do often see Bigfoot furry brown animals, and they actually turn out to be bears. And bears, although they do like to clean themselves, they can sometimes be foully because sometimes fecal matter can get stuck on their rear end. So it smells pretty bad.
That pretty much is common throughout the whole mammal genus, I guess you could say.
Pretty much, including some humans.
Some of us have problems like that. But anyway, I wanted, before the hour is gone, I want you guys to hear this exclusive clip that we have from BRFO.com. It's a really, really interesting clip. I have three of these today, and I want to play them. This one's,
yes.
This one's actually a howl that was recorded. I cannot find the original link, but it was somewhere out west, I remember. Here, let me see if I can find it really quick while the clip is playing. I'm going to play it twice because it's only 15 seconds long, but listen very carefully. Okay, now I'm going to play it again. If the CD player would let me. While I'm getting the CD player to queue up to that song again, to that track again, that actually is a dog barking, too, in the back. You can hear a dog yapping at whatever this sound is. It's a very scary sound, actually, if you listen to it very carefully.
If you don't mind me interrupting, that's almost exactly what we heard out in a field that night down in Texas 2 years ago at the state park. It was something just like that, you know, and it when you hear that noise, it just, I'm not kidding you, I get chills just talking about it. I mean, it's an unworldly sound. And it's interesting that I mentioned Gigantopithecus before, and many people believe that Gigantopithecus and orangutans have evolved from a common ancestor. And I tend to believe that too. Now, if you listen to an orangutan howl, it sounds not as loud, but it almost sounds as similar as what you just heard, what Justin just played on the radio. It sounds pretty similar to that. And I'd have to believe that maybe the orangutan, the Gigantopithecus, and the Bigfoot creatures are all evolutionarily linked.
Another thing I'd like to mention is that the sounds that people are hearing, like in Texas and in Northern California and even in China, they're eerily similar. This, whatever this animal is, it is very closely related to the other Bigfoot-type creatures all over the world.
Yeah, they could be different species. I believe Yeti could possibly be a different species than from the North American Bigfoots due to the isolation of the genes and such, but you know, I do believe that they are all commonly related pretty closely.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Folks, I got another clip, or I'm going to play that clip again just for you guys to enjoy. So here it is. Listen very carefully. Okay, and I think I found the source for that. It actually was in, let's see, where was that at? That was in Sierra Nevada. Somewhere in the Sierra Nevada, that was what it was. And there are many of these sounds on BFRO.net, but these are some of the best ones I've found. And here is another one, if you guys wouldn't mind playing another one.
Cool.
I'm going to save the best one for last, but here is another one.
Oh my God, I'm getting chills right now. It almost sounds like the Bigfoot's experiencing some kind of pain.
Yeah, it does.
Like it's trying to force something out, you know. It sounds like it's maybe stepped in a bear trap or something happened to it.
Oh, you guys, I just found a good one. This one I'm going to have to play here, but in a few minutes. This one is a 911 phone call that a person made from the Northwest in Washington State in the 1990s about a lady or a guy was reporting a Bigfoot had been sighted right outside her house. And I was walking right outside there, and he was reporting her. Okay, but I'm going to play that clip again and listen very carefully. And to tell you the truth, guys, if that were me, I'd probably have to get a change of underwear if I heard that.
I'm telling you, Justin, when I was out there and I had my own personal experience with the Bigfoot, I almost did soil myself right there, and I believe that Byron, I think he did. But if Leroy gets to around his story, because he's seen a Bigfoot too, it was a pretty interesting story as well. But he felt the same way, and I hope I hear your story, Leroy. I believe the audience needs to hear
you guys. We're going to have to wait for that one for the next hour, unfortunately, because we're right up against the hour here. But I wanted to play the 911 call really quick before we do that. Leroy, if you want to stay on the phone, we will get to that your story, if you want
sure,
to do
it. Sure, I can hang around.
Okay. This is a 911 call recorded in the 1990s. It doesn't say the exact date, but it says it's from the Pacific Northwest, and hopefully this works. Okay, not that. That's a what was that? Anyway, hopefully this works.
911, what are you reporting?
We got someone or something crawling around out here.
Did you see what it was? Was it a person or an animal?
I can't tell. All I know is that my central light came on and I just happened.
happen to glimpse and see this thing running across the yard, a good-sized man or something. It looks like a man. I don't know what it was, just it ran across the yard.
Okay. You've had problems in the neighborhood before?
Yeah, my dog was killed here just recently. I don't know what it was. Whatever it is, it's running. I couldn't catch it if I was going to chase it. But whatever it was standing up. I'm out here looking through the window now, and I don't see anything. I don't want to go outside. Jesus Christ, you better...
Sure.
Dia!
Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Uh-oh. Okay, hang on.
He's right...
Is he in your yard, sir?
Yeah, God, he's big.
Okay, what's he doing in your yard?
He's looking at me.
Okay. And the guy is on foot. Just...
I don't know what... It's a big, real big person. That's all I can say.
Okay, but it is a person.
I'd say it was a person, somebody really big. But he's all in black.
Is he a black male or a white male? Did you actually see whether, or was he just wearing black?
He's all black and he's big.
So that is very, very scary. I mean, I would be... That's, again, another situation where I'd have to change my pants. Don't you think?
I agree.
But, you guys, we're right up against the hour. We're going to take a quick break. We are going to be back here in just a few minutes. We're going to play Get Out of Here. But we'll be back next hour on the UFM show. This is the UFM on KU Student Radio, Channel 66 in the dorms, KU.org. And 99.9 FM on the east side of campus. Hope you're enjoying listening to tonight's show. It is Thursday, October 19th. And here's some Radiohead for you to enjoy.
The fresh air of the morning, I keep forgetting. The smell of the warm summer air. Smell a thing. You watch your feet for cracks in the pavement. Up above, aliens hover, making home movies for the folks back home. Of all these weird creatures who lock up their spirits.
Yeah.
right, that was just Radiohead, Subterranean Homesick Alien. It's 9:05 here in the Mountain West. 9:07 according to this computer. I don't know what to believe. I believe my watch rather than the computer. Anyways, this is the UFM on KUT Student Radio, channel 66 in the dorms, KUT.org. We are into the second hour and final hour of the show. And one of these, in about 5 minutes, I'm going to have to change the CD over, because it's recording the show so you can have the archives that are on the ubstudios.com webpage. And like I was saying before, if you want to send me a fast blast, I am on MySpace. My MySpace is myspace.com/thatsmystewboy. I'm online right now. If you want to use the instant messaging service there, any of you have MySpace out there that are listening and are on your computers right now. Or you can contact me at marsam233@yahoo.com. That's marsam233@yahoo.com, and I will put your email on air if you choose to. So I've got fast flash capabilities on the MySpace, though. Just send me an instant message. That's all you have to do if you want to be put. Also, we're going to have probably open lines here, and you can and we're going to be able to answer some of your questions later on this hour. Bethesda's going to be here to answer some of your questions. Leroy might also drop back in, too, as well, but we're going to have him do that. Anyway, I wanted to play another clip of some Mississippi howls. I'm not sure if this is one I played already, but you can hear some whooping sounds. There's also moaning. There's the 911 call that I just played that you can find. This site, BFRO.net, is really interesting if you're interested in the Bigfoot research topic. But anyway, you got the UFM. We'll be right back in just a few minutes. Now we got some more. We got a fast flash that just came in. Let's see, what is your name? Satchmore Gibbons from Littleton, New York. He sends that he was hunting in one time near the Catskill Mountains, and it was late at night. I had the feeling that I was being followed. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw a huge, large, black human shape run to my right. And he says he knows it wasn't a bear if it had it had more of a human face like look. And he says he swears it ran by, it might have given me the finger, or, yeah. He said, I know it wasn't, but it was too humanly. I enjoy your show. I found your show by accident. I'm a big fan of hunting. And what are, he asked, what are Cobblebottom's and Leroy's personal training in Bigfoot? Do you guys want to answer that really quick? What are you guys' personal training?
You could take this one, Leroy. Now go after.
Sure, I got my bachelor's degree in anthropology from the University of California, Berkeley. And I have my master's degree also from the University of California, Berkeley in zoology. So I consider myself a cryptozoologist anthropologist.
I had, I got my bachelor's in science at the Texas A&M in human anthropology, paleontology, and similar Dianetics. It's a weird kind of course, but I got some teachings in that.
Okay, thank you. I think that answers his question pretty good.
I meant simian Dianetics. That's what I meant. I said similar. I meant simian Dianetics.
All right. So I got to take a break, guys. We're going to be back. I can take a commercial break, a really quick one. Whoa, what was that?
Got to take a commercial break, and we'll be right back on the UFM show.
You know, sometimes, dear listeners, I worry about my health as a young man, and that's why I decided to taking this all-new Cold Flatch formula with zinc to help keep me going while on the air. Cold Flatch is a natural zinc formula formulated to keep me going strong every day and prevent the onsets of such pests as the flu and the common cold. It also helps keep me stay regular with a natural non-habit-forming laxative built right in. Plus, Cold Flatch has a sleep regulator which makes my sleeping habits run perfectly with my school schedule and the show schedule. So if you're ready to feel better all over, I recommend you try Cold Flatch. From the makers of Ultralax. Yes, Cold Flatch. Available only by dialing 1-800-KANG-RU. That's 1-800-K-A-N-G-R-U.
These commercials are not actual advertisements and are 100% fake. You should not believe in them at all. I talk really, really fast so you can't understand me. Ha ha ha. Be sure to talk to your doctor for taking Cold Flatch as it may cause such side effects as uncontrollable bowel movements, voice cracking even though puberty is already over with, a strong urge to beat a cat, a desire to drive somewhere, or a loss of sleep or headache, nausea, and vomiting profusely.
Hello, friends. It's Art Malik here, and I'm back to tell you, do you sometimes wonder what scary things might go bump in the night? Well, if you're like me, then you do. Well, there's no better way to find out what these scary things are than with your new handy-dandy Grundiggity FR200 radio from RadioSack. That's right. It's got a built-in flashlight to help you find the Bigfoot in the dark. It's perfect for those late-night outings when you need a radio to find a distant station, but don't want the hassle of batteries. You see, the Grundiggity FR200 has a windable power source for hours and hours of hands-free radio use and a flashlight use. Take the Grundiggity FR200 anywhere. Trust me, you'll like it. And tell them Art sent you to get a discount. The Grundiggity FR200, available only at Radio Sack.
KU1620, Channel 66, KU.org, and DXFM 99.9.
All right, we are back here on the UFM show. I just got another fast flash from Satchmore in New York. He says, if there is such technology out there, i.e. heat sensors, etc., how come there is no video evidence, guys?
Well, actually, there is plenty of video evidence. A lot of it's really grainy. A lot of it you can't tell exactly what it is. And a lot of it's just someone else. Heat sensing technology has been set up in the past to look for Bigfoot. And, well, there have been some, you know, findings on the heat sensing film too. And, however, you know, some of these have been discredited as someone walking in the woods or someone walking to the local town. You know, it's really hard to tell the difference. But anyway, there has been these kind of technologies set up. It's the, use and like the people who are using it, and then sometimes they set up for hoax too. But my team and I have actually got some credible evidence on presented on the heat sensing camera, and we're planning on
Go ahead. Hello?
Oh, sorry, my phone got cut off a little bit. We're planning on showing this to the world pretty soon once we do our analysis on it.
All right. Well, I think that pretty much answers his question. Hold on a second. Let me type back to him. All right, guys. I'm going to play another clip of the Mississippi howl that was recorded in 2004. I'm not sure if I have this one tonight with me, but we'll see. Here is the Mississippi howl, and listen very carefully.
You know, to me, that actually sounds more like a police siren, a distant police siren. I don't know what else that could be explained to be.
To me, it kind of sounds like a bear with a police siren in the distance.
they have been some signs of black bears in Mississippi. There are actual black bears all across the nation, if you didn't know that. But, yeah, it does to me sound like a bear as well.
Yeah, I'm thinking something is in the woods there. I'm not sure exactly what that is. We have a clip that sounds almost exactly like that, but it's more clear. It's more of like a similar to human vocalizations than that, what that was. And it's actually clearer. I'm going to play that one towards the end here. I'm just trying to find some decent clips here.
I heard down in Mississippi they call it the skunk ape.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you a question. I got another fast flash from somebody that asks, this is specific for you, Lee or Bethesda. Have you heard of the Skunk Man in Texas?
Well, actually, yes, I have. You know, we've done some studies on him too, and one of my colleagues and I believe is that it's actually a Bigfoot, because the reason they call it the Skunk Man is because it emanates this real bad smell from itself, and it can be, you know, if you're ever around it, if you encounter it, you could smell the smell for seriously probably 500 yards or something like that. And but there's also been evidence where, along with the smell, there's been Bigfoot-like vocalizations, and there's also been big footprints found in the soil, and also hair fibers. So I believe that Skunk Man is actually Bigfoot.
Really?
Yes, I do.
Is it just like another type of Bigfoot, like you were saying earlier?
Well, it could be a subspecies of the Bigfoot local in area, because when Gigantopithecus lived around, it lived right next to Pithecanthus, which is also known as Homo erectus, one of our ancient relatives. But they also lived around at the same time, so I wouldn't be surprised if there were multiple Bigfoot species living next to each other.
Really?
Yes, I would not be surprised. The fossil evidence shows that there have been ancient human species that lived along with Neanderthals, and humans and Neanderthals lived side by side with each other for a while, and some people believe that Homo erectus and the humans, Homo sapiens, lived side by side as well.
That's really interesting. Leroy, this question is for you. You said you were doing some interesting investigations on the Patterson video. A lot of people are saying that the 1967 Patterson video, which shows a supposed Bigfoot walking away from the camera over a sandbar and looking back at the camera. What is your take on this, and do you believe it's real or fake?
I believe it's real. I have talked to Patterson himself before he died, and he told me he was just out on a trail ride, and he did have a gun with him. He had a .30-06, and when he saw that thing, he grabbed his camera, but he had his gun in his other hand. He was deathly afraid of that thing, but having talked to him, I definitely believe that the video is real.
Yeah, and there has been some of them, some recent studies done on that actually, you know, point out that the hands, the arms are long. They're very long for a human. So
that piece, excuse me for interrupting, but that's probably the single most important evidence to Bigfoot mythology for Bigfoot existing right there, is that one piece of film, because there have been many scientists who have looked it over and tried to debunk it, but every time they do, it comes up with, they can't explain exactly what it is. And I myself have researched it, and I come to the same conclusions, that it actually is another species of ape-like man or Bigfoot.
And if you look at the morphology of the creature in the video, like you said, Justin, his arms are significantly longer than that of a human, and you can actually see the muscles moving underneath his fur. It would be very difficult for a special effects person in the 1960s.
Yeah, definitely.
To make an elaborate pose.
Yes, it would very be. It would very be difficult.
With a loaded gun looking at you, that'd be very dangerous.
Yeah, and they said it was a female species as well, a female of the species.
That would explain why it was probably a little smaller than some reports that we have seen.
Yeah, like the guy in the 911 call said it must have been like 6'9" or something. That's pretty tall.
Well, actually, I don't know if you know this, but in biology or in anthropology, what they teach or what you find out in paleontology is the female of the species, especially in ape-like creatures or apes, and even humans sometimes, the female is usually smaller than the male, proportionally-wise. And, well, that's what we believe that the Patterson video would be, is because typical Bigfoot sightings are around 8 foot tall, and this Patterson video was more like 6 foot five or something like that.
I don't know, some of the basketball players here on the U campus are close to 8 foot. I was getting dinner tonight, and some guy was like extremely towering over me. He must have been 7 foot five or something. It was like, whoa, man.
There have been reportings of like 10 foot tall Bigfoots as well.
Interesting. What were you going to say, Leroy?
That it must have been a basketball player.
Yeah, he was. He was. Because he was wearing the traditional U insignia on his shorts. Anyway, I'm going to play a clip offline. It's off of the internet. It's, let's see what this is. It's another whooping sound. This is not one I have played today. So. You know what that sounds like to me? That sounds like a orangutan or some kind of ape.
That's exactly what I was thinking. That sounds like someone took a tape recorder to a local zoo and recorded a monkey howling or something like that.
That was actually...
Was that recorded?
That was, let's see, it was recorded in 1974 in California, it says. It doesn't say exactly where in California, but it says in 74 in California.
Well, our governor might be an ape, but other than that, there aren't too many apes.
I bet you Arnold's liking that. I've got an ID from him recorded for our show tonight. Anyway, I'm going to play another one here. This is bipedal walking, southeast Oklahoma, in November of 2005.
Field, I might know about this one.
This field recording was obtained in McCurtain County, Oklahoma, a few miles south of Honobia in LaFleur County. I'm not sure exactly where that's at. It was recording during the 2005 BFRO Oklahoma expedition by investigator Dennis Foll from Colorado. Okay, let's play this one, shall we? It downloads on this extremely slow connection. Okay, now listen very carefully, guys.
It just sounds like somebody walking in the woods, more or less.
I can't hear anything.
It sounds
It just sounds like twig breaking.
Yeah, that's all it is, basically. Nothing too spectacular about that. It could be anybody, you know.
True.
That Where one, was that taken at?
That was in southeast Oklahoma.
What town?
McCurtain County, south of Honobia.
All right. I've actually been up there. That's in the... I've done some research in the Ouachita National Forest, which is in McCurtain County, and we do have some Bigfoot.